Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Romans 8:11 says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." What a fabulous promise to those of us who have chosen to accept Jesus Christ for eternal life. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that promise. Today we are discussing the roles of the Holy Spirit and how to rely on Him for the impossible. So join in the conversation as we look at all aspects of walking in the Spirit. I'm going to start us off today, Janie, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." What does that really mean practically for us? What's that look like?
Well, Sharon, if I was just to have to give you a one-liner, I would say that the Holy Spirit applies the work of the Son when Jesus Christ came to be God in the flesh and fulfill the purpose that God the Father had decreed before the foundations of the world. He has an eternal game plan.
Okay.
It's established. The Son came to complete that for those that He designed to live on planet Earth and then join Him eternally in heaven. Okay. But we have a season here on planet Earth. So that we were not left vulnerable, the Holy Spirit was sent so that He would, if shall we say, activate and apply the work that the Son had done in His earthly ministry here on Earth.
Okay. Well, Jesus tells us in John 16, where He talks about the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth, that the Holy Spirit's going to speak what Jesus says, what God says to us. So we hear God through the Holy Spirit.
And that's essential today because we hear everybody saying they have the truth.
Oh, yeah.
But none of the truth agrees.
Right.
And the saying, "Well, your truth is not my truth," that is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
In John 16:13, He says that the Holy Spirit really unveils the unseen reality.
Mm.
And, you know, if we're getting ready to suffer in a way that we had never known before,
right?
That's really an unseen reality. We don't know how to anticipate it because we've never been there.
Right.
But He says that if we will listen to Him, that He will set us free because we abide in the truth and we concentrate on the truth. So it's by knowing the Holy Spirit in an intimate way of being quiet and listening to Him that He can open up what He means in the words that He has had in writing the Scriptures. But Sharon, it takes a quiet spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have to get quiet. And many times that's our downfall, is that we're not taking the time to be quiet before the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit.
Well, and the Holy Spirit does get kind of a bum rap, and I'll try to say that practically. For many people and some denominations, He's been put back in the closet.
The Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because He has been misappropriated by some who want to implement His roles in their own understanding. And so an overreaction to correct that problem is He's just been stuck back in the closet.
Right. Okay.
And we don't really talk about Him anymore because we don't want to talk about Him incorrectly. Then there's the other extreme that believes Jesus has done His work on earth and now He's off someplace else doing something else. And the Holy Spirit does everything, and we don't even need to know anything more about Jesus because the Holy Spirit's going to do it all. Those are two of the opposite perspectives.
Okay.
There's balance in the middle.
Well, we have to know that they're three in one, the Trinity, but we don't know what the roles of each of the Trinity aspect is. We just throw it out there, kind of like we throw out walking in the Spirit.
Well, let me give you a perspective.
Okay.
All right? The love of God. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love.
Okay.
And in his authorship of love, he has decided how he wants planet Earth and its purpose and its calling and its fulfillment to be done.
Okay.
He's decreed that. And he will have that done because he is God. And the Holy Spirit makes God's love known to us. And the more God's love is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
then the more we love God.
Oh, that's good.
So there's the grace of God. And God's grace said, I must take on humanity and come and solve what is impossible for anybody else to solve but me. Because there has to be a perfect person to wipe away sin.
Okay.
And none of us can do that. So God says, my grace is going to fulfill that purpose, and he sent his son. Now his son has come to earth and shown himself. But we still struggle, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Holy Spirit's role is to have us have fellowship with the Father and the Son through his calling that he does here on planet Earth. He's our guide. He's our comfort. And he always points us back to the grace of God, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, God the Father.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us.
Yes. Now, how do we want to learn about Jesus? Can we learn about him apart from the working of the Holy Spirit?
I wouldn't think so.
Well, we're not going to learn about the truth, but we could sure maybe gain some information about him.
Okay.
And then, you know what we'll do? We'll misappropriate the information if we don't have the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth of the information that we have received. We've got a lot of people who've got a lot of head knowledge that are not listening to the Holy Spirit, and they may be surprised when they wake up at a destination they hadn't planned on.
Okay.
Head knowledge will not get you into heaven. Heart knowledge that the Holy Spirit can provide will assure you of an eternity with the love of God.
So the Holy Spirit reveals God's love and grace and truth, and he comforts us in all things. So when we face trials and persecutions and the unknowns, we should be able to do that without fear because the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Sharon, fear is only one way we can travel in life. And if it's not through fear, it has to be through faith. And we cannot exercise faith until we understand the author that produces faith for us. And that really is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes fear can be a healthy thing because the Bible says the fear of the Lord
mm-hmm.
is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to know how to execute fear. Is it a healthy fear, knowing who God is and standing in awe at his power?
Right.
Or is it fear that entraps, paralyzes, and causes us to then go to our own leaning of our own understanding on how to overcome our fears? And if we do it in our own strength, we're just going to get more fear.
Right. So true. And I'll quote the famous 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." You know, and then in 13, he says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in the Spirit by faith.
And Sharon, do you realize what an aspect of faith that requires? Because I'm looking at you, but I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the house that you live in.
Mm.
And you can't really separate them.
Right.
But until we have our resurrection bodies, will we truly understand practically how the Godhead is working?
So really, our minds can't comprehend And that's why faith is required.
Sharon, let me describe to you how the Holy Spirit has worked for our eternal good in what has been done when the church was formed at Pentecost. That was known before the foundations of the world. But let me just tell you what the Holy Spirit chooses to do.
Okay.
He chose to die with Jesus when Jesus died on the cross. That's Romans 6.
Okay.
Then he had an active part as we were buried with him. He was active in our being baptized into his death that we might be raised in newness of life.
Okay.
And then he was a part in raising us up with him and making the resurrection a reality for us so that we could live out of the bondage that we have been in ever since we were born. Then he gives us his life through Jesus Christ and God the Father working as a Trinity so that we can live the life that Christ has designed for us right here and now. Holy Spirit was very active in that process. Now we have the joy of living by his power on everything else that he's done for us so that we could have his power. And then he has promised to guide us through life to the end for those that are called by his name so that we can be an inheritance to the Trinity and they can be our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is active in every part of our life, working in conjunction as the Trinity, three in one. And that takes some faith to accept because it doesn't make logical sense except as we choose to lean on him.
Wow, Janie, that's a lot to take in and to absorb.
So we have to walk by faith,
right?
And the Holy Spirit empowers us on how to accept what is true without us understanding.
Right.
You know, calculus is true. I don't have a clue as to how to understand it.
Exactly. So true.
There are so many aspects that I don't understand the stars, but I enjoy the beauty of the stars without understanding that there's some kind of amount of gases that are
right.
formed. You know, I hear
sure.
words, but I don't have practicalness. But does it negate me mm-hmm. enjoying the fruit of why those stars are in the sky?
Do you think that we do that when we go to church? We hear the words and we hear the truth, but we don't know how to apply that practically to our lives.
Oh, and now you've hit on a real nice sensitive nerve. And that is if we would get off of our own interpretation of the
okay.
truth that is being given and not try to make it fit into what our preconceived opinions and preferences and notions are and maybe some very incorrect training.
Right.
Not to mention our expectations, not to mention our own desires. We could go on and on and on, but let's bring it down to simplicity. We need to listen and let the Holy Spirit then enlighten. Because you know why? He's taken responsibility for our sanctification. We have been set apart by the Spirit, by Jesus' life, so that we can grow as we're to grow. But it's a process.
Right.
You and I are both on a growth process. But we're at different points.
Right.
But if I try to discern truth by where you are, or you try to discern truth by where I am, we're going to come to thoughts that are probably going to have some judgment in them and some opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to warp the work of the Holy Spirit in us.
Well, and then what happens is that we sit in truth and then we think about who that would be for rather than for ourselves. So I think a lot of times, you know, and you said something previously that many times unforgiveness is at the root of the issues that we're dealing with. And so maybe what we should do before we go sit in a seat on Sunday morning to hear the truth being spoken, is ask the Lord if there's anything in there that we need to ask forgiveness for. You know, is there any bitterness or anger or hurts that we need to forgive? So cleanse our hearts to be ready to receive whatever the Lord has for us, and connect that wire back so we can hear the Holy Spirit. Break down some walls so the Holy Spirit can speak to us again.
You have just really given the gospel in a nutshell when it comes to the Lord giving us His Word. We're back to Psalms 18, and that's got to be one of our bedrocks for Sharon Hearts, all right? Because he talks about the law of the Lord is perfect. It'll convert. But then there's the testimony of the Lord, which will make wise the simple. There's the statutes of the Lord. They're always right, and they'll cause joy in the heart. There's the commandments of the Lord, and they're enlightening the eyes. There's the fear of the Lord, and it's clean. There's no flaws in that, and it endures forever. And then there are the judgments of the Lord that are true and righteous altogether. And those little precepts are more to be desired than gold, fine gold. They're sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, and moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. And if we would read that before we walked in to hear the truth being taught from the pulpit, we'd have discernment. If, oh, something's not sounding quite right, there's something wrong between the walk and the talk, you see? And then, who can understand the errors, whether they're coming from us or whether they're coming from what's being taught?
Right.
And then you're in my favorite verse, almost the favorite verse. Cleanse me from my secret faults, so that I can understand the law of the Lord and be converted, so that I can have the testimony of the Lord. This is crucial because the Holy Spirit is the agent that is activating this and applying it to us right here and now. And then our prayer is, Holy Spirit, Father God, through your Spirit, don't let the faults have dominion or control over me. And then when that you answer that prayer, and he has promised to answer that, then I shall be blameless. Oh, because I'm a perfect person? No, because I'm in Jesus Christ, in the love of God, in the purpose of God, in the grace of God, and in the fellowship. And then we'll be innocent of great transgressions. Now, Sharon, that's solid food. That's solid truth.
And that's why we're having such a hard time applying the truth, applying the scriptures to our life, because the Holy Spirit is the agent that does that. And when we're not in tune, lined up, we are not able to discern the rights from wrongs, the things that we need to repent of, and allow our hearts to be tender to say, oh Lord, show me my secret faults, show me my hidden sins, that I might repent and turn and be in good standing with you. And so those are the things that I am seeing that you're saying that will hinder us from walking in the Spirit.
And Sharon, if we choose, and it is a choice, to apply just one portion of Scripture, then the end result is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that is spelled H-E-A-R-T, exclamation point, will be acceptable in your sight, in the God of love, in the God of grace, in the fellowship of believers. And then, O Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And all is good, no matter what the obstacles,
right,
what the trials, what the unknowns, what the next person is causing us to want to leave this position of safety and truth, that comes to nothing. Because the fellowshipping in the Spirit, with the Spirit, by the Spirit, for the purpose of grace and love of God, will keep us from failing.
Well, that's when we have to have our eyes not focused inward, but outward.
Yes,
ma'am. Many times we have our eyes focused inward on me-ism and how does this message benefit me? How does it comfort me? How does it encourage me? And sometimes we need to be saying, how is this a warning to me? What is it that I need to change in my life? And how can that help others?
Sure, and if we can remember that we need to be looking upward, and then we can look inward, and then we can look outward to others.
Oh, that's good. So first it's upward.
We've got to know Him as to who He says He is. And then we can look inside of ourselves to see that we are being conformed in His likeness.
Okay.
And then we're ready to go outward to others as a witness and a testimony. And then our purpose for being here has meaning.
And sometimes we have it completely backwards. We're doing all the outward things and service, you know, doing all these outreaches and serving others and taking people to the doctor and giving food, and which are all great and wonderful things. But sometimes we do that in our flesh. We're not doing that in the Spirit.
But you know what? If you think about a triangle of it being upward, uh-huh, inward, and outward,
uh-huh,
who would like to turn it upside down and make it outward? And hopefully then you will go inward, but you will just focus on yourself and have so much introspection, mm-hmm, that you never decide to look upward.
Well, and sometimes that can be a... all of our service can become a self-serving aspect. You start looking for accolades for people to, you know, oh, you know, Sharon, she's such a great servant. And, you know, I'm not, but, you know, that's what you can say. Oh, Sharon, she's such a great servant. She does this and she does that, and look for the praise of others. From the outward service becomes an inward focus, and we never go upward.
And do you realize the danger in that, in finding our identification of who we are in self, rather than finding our identification of who we are as children of the eternal God?
Right. Well, not to mention, it says in Matthew 7, 21, 22, that, you know, people were saying, well, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? I mean, we've totally deceived ourselves from knowing that we don't know Jesus Christ himself. We've just done all of these things in his name. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's a scary place to be, right?
Absolutely.
So our identity cannot be in the service that we perform, whether that's at church or in our community. It has to be in Christ, as children of God, not in service, not in self, but in Christ. So we can rest assured in the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, reveal to us the love of God, the grace of God, and in Him, we have life. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jenny Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.